This morning I'd like to read Romans chapter 9, verses 6 through 13, as we continue our studies in the book of Romans. Romans 9, verse 6, beginning, it says, "Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated." This passage of scripture is, I believe, misunderstood even by denominations, because denominations are built upon the doctrine of election or Calvinism, and I am not persuaded that election has to do with getting into the family. Election, and I'm just explaining to you, since some of you have already expressed that I don't have to prove anything. I can just tell you and you'd believe it. but that's not my bent. But anyway, what I'm doing is I want you to get the thought, even if I can't give it to you with proof. Election is not a salvation matter. Election is a family matter. Election takes place among the family according to the foreknowledge of God. God knows who's going to be in His family. And so when we read in Ephesians 1:4, chosen in Christ from before the foundation of the world that we would be sons. You have to be in Christ before election takes place. You have to be in the family. You have to be in the body before election takes place. And election has to do with who serves who. Now, a lot of people think that Esau is lost and Jacob is saved. Can you imagine Esau, or those of Esau, serving the saved, those of Jacob, particularly in eternity? That would mean that if you need a cold drink of water, you need to call somebody out of hell to come up and get you a cold drink of water. In other words, you need to call the lost to serve you. That doesn't make sense at all. Both Jacob and Esau are saved. But God has chosen Jacob because He wanted to. And He chose him to be a lord and a king, or a lord or a king. And the simple matter is this: lords and kings have servants. And it doesn't mean that you are to consider yourself outside the love of God or the care of the Lord, because you are not called or chosen by Him, because the Lord takes care of His family. If you're in the family, He's going to take care of you. Now, the passage that we just got through reading, it's talking about the children of God. Those of Abraham's seed that are the children of God, and those that are not the children of God. And what one can immediately jump to is the thought that if you're not a child of God, you're not saved. And this passage is not talking about salvation, but it's talking about election and choices that God is making in the family. And so when we're talking about the children of God, we're talking about a specific group of people. And they are the children that are associated with the elect. They are the seed. They are the anointed seed, according to Galatians. And that's what Paul is trying to explain to them, is that God has made some choices in the family, and we are not all on the equal plane. God has chosen some to be over others. And that's God's prerogative. You know why? Because we're bought with a price. God can do with us whatever He wants to do. And if it glorifies Him for you to be a king and me to be a servant, amen. That's what it amounts to. God's will be done. And let me tell you this. If God has chosen you to be a servant, you're going to be just tickled to death in the coming kingdom doing what God has called you to do. You're not going to be serving kings and lords with a grudge and a chip on your shoulder that you weren't chosen. That's just not going to happen. You're going to be happy doing what God has chosen you to do. Now, let's look at these verses, and in particular, beginning with Romans 9:6, it's not as though the Word of God had taken none effect. In other words, the Word of God has to do with the mysteries of the kingdom. We've been over this before. And the mysteries of the kingdom are for those who have been given ears to hear and eyes to see, and not all of God's kids have got ears to hear and eyes to see. That's as simple as that can be. And because God is not going to give all of His kids the same ability to get truth pertaining to the meat of the Word, because when you hear the meat of the Word and you don't respond to it appropriately, you are under severe judgment of God. And you will come into severe judgment. That's even why the Lord says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Don't waste your time on them. Because it would have been better for them not to have known the meat of the Word than to know the meat of the Word and for them to go back to dog food. I guess that's a kinder way of putting it. Dog food. But anyway, the Word of God did take effect. There were many that believed the gospel of the kingdom during the days of John the Baptist and the apostles and Jesus Christ preaching. We know that the Word of God is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It will accomplish its will, what God wants it to do. Now, He says here, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel, and I felt like I needed to translate this latter part of this verse 6 so that you can get the sense of what it means. And I'm not violating the text, I believe. For not all those out of Israel are these Israelites. Israel is the one who had the 12 sons. And is saying, not all those out of Israel are these Israelites. Now, who are these Israelites a reference to? Well, the word Israelite is found in verse 4. And Israelites are those to whom pertain the adoption, or actually, the birthright. Now, not all of the sons of Israel, or Jacob, were firstborn. Only Joseph was the firstborn. So that eliminates, 11 tribes. So here he's saying that there is a single tribe that has to do with the birthright. And Joseph got a double portion. It goes on to say in this verse, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God. Now, who, the giving of the law and the service of God, did all tribes participate in that? No. The tribe of Levi was the only one who could go into the temple or the tabernacle. They were the only ones that were to swing the censers with the incense in it, to take care of the showbread and the candlesticks and the altar of incense in the holy place. And the high priest was the only one that could go in once a year in the Holy of Holies. And only Levites could carry the Ark of the Covenant. If you weren't a Levi and you touched that ark, you were dead. That's simple as that. You died. And if you burned strange incense, you died. It happened. Even with the tribe of... You even got to burn the incense the right way, because even the sons of Aaron died because they didn't do it right. But anyway, so what this is saying, this latter part of this verse, this is not all of the saved have a special place with God. Let me tell you, the Levites were closer to the Lord than all the rest of the tribe of Israel, or the tribes of the tribes of Joseph. Jacob. Get these things straight. So the Israelites are a selection of the tribes of Israel or Jacob. So that's the point. That's what Paul is beginning. Not everybody had the same place in God's family, even as far as the Israelites are concerned, or the descendants of Jacob. I put in a couple of proof verses here. 1 Chronicles 5:2, Judah prevailed above his brethren, and of him came the chief ruler. It was of the tribe of Judah that Jesus Christ came. And normally the firstborn, or the birthright, a person who got the birthright was the chief ruler. But this didn't happen. God allowed Judah to take over, because you know why? He knew that Jesus Christ would be the Lion of the tribe of whom? Judah. God's plans in perfect. You know, he knew what he was doing, and he had it planned, and he worked it perfectly. But it says here the birthright was Joseph. So, there's distinction even among the sons of Jacob. And Benjamin was a special son in the fact that Benjamin was the only one of the 12 sons of Jacob that was born in the land. All the rest of them were born outside the land. They were born outside the land, the same place that the law was given. The law wasn't given in the land. It was given on Mount Sinai, which was outside the land. An interesting observation, I hope, to you. It was to me. Now, he continues in verse 7, neither, and I'm going to skip the phrase, I'm going to say, neither are they all children. And what people will immediately jump to, if they're not children, they must not be saved. This passage of Scripture is not dealing with saved and lost people. It's dealing with saved people and those in the family that God has chosen. Okay? Because it says, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. And it says they're not all children because not all are chosen to be the children of the promise. That's what's coming up. You've got to read a few more words to find out the children that he's talking about. Because every one who was born of Abraham was his child. And I take it because he is a child, he is part of the family. Part of the family of God as well. Let's continue. But it says, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now, I put a little note in here talking about they are not, or neither are they all children of the promise in verse 8. Verse 8 tells us, or gives us the fact, in the last phrase of that verse, But the children of the promise are counted for the seed. In other words, not all of Abraham's kids are counted as the seed of promise. Okay? That's the key to understanding the thought that not all of Abraham's kids are children. It's the children of the promise. They're not all the children of the promise. In fact, Isaac is the one that his seed shall be called. A single portion. Isaac. Then he continues, or let me just say this, as many as God shall call. By the way, it's in Isaac, shall thy seed be called. And the phrase in Isaac is significant. In Isaac, there are 12 tribes. And so within the 12 tribes, the seed is called out. Not all the tribes are the sons of Isaac. Excuse me. Not all the sons of Isaac, which is Esau and Jacob, were called. Just one. I'm sorry. I'm jumping out of my notes and I'm getting mixed up. Bear with me, please. Bear with me on that. Isaac. Every time I talk about Isaac and Jacob, I have to say Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to keep them in order, to keep them straight. But anyway, in Isaac, there's only one seed, and it was Jacob. In Jacob, there were select sons that were the seed. Now let's continue. And I just use Acts 2:39, where it talks about the promise is given unto you, and he's talking to the nation of Israel, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And this is not talking about being saved, because it's talking about the promise, and I associate the promise with age-lasting life, and I didn't include all that because some of that, it's just repetition for us here. The promise is unto you and to your children and to those that are far off, and that those that are far off are Gentiles. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. God doesn't call all to be saved, but He does call many to be kings and lords. Matthew 22:14, many are called, but few are chosen, or elect, or called. Now, only one child of promise as far as Isaac is concerned. In Romans 9:8 it says, that is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. In other words, the children of promise. And who are the children of the flesh? Well, Keturah's kids. And Abraham's other concubine, which is Hagar, and these are all not considered as the children of God, the children of promise. In fact, it says here in Genesis 25:6 that the sons of the concubines, that is Keturah and Hagar, which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac, his son, while he yet lived eastward unto the east country. I think it's interesting. He could have just said eastward. He wanted you and I to know that he'd sent them out of the land. They were not included in the blessing of Abraham in the land. The promised seed was to have the land. Those that are not the children of God, that is, the children of promise, were not to have the land flowing with milk and honey. So all of these children are scattered east of the Jordan River, out of the land of Canaan. So these are the children of the flesh. They're saved, I believe, but they're not included in the promised seed. Galatians 3:16 tells us, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is anointed." I'm persuaded that the word Christ, being a transliteration of the word, that if you translate it, it would be anointed. And when you talk about the seed of Abraham being anointed, they were appointed to rule and to have the land flowing with milk and honey. And we have been over that study before, so I'm not going to spend a half hour on that, verse. But anyway, now the brethren are the children of promise. In Galatians 4:28, "Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise." And he's talking about brethren. Brethren are those that are seeking to do the will of the Father so that they can enter the kingdom of heaven, not just simply see it. That's the difference. Now, in Galatians 4:30 and 31, these two of the seed of Abraham was to have two separate inheritances. "Nevertheless, what saith the Scriptures? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but we are children of the free woman." We're children of the promise. We're not children of the flesh. We're children of the promise. We'll have the land flowing with milk and honey. Now, Romans 9:9 says, "For this is the word of promise. At that time," or "at this time, will I come, and Sarah shall have a son." Now, what the promise was is that Sarah would have a son. And this son would be Isaac. And Romans 4:13 tells us, "For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed," that is Isaac, "through the law, but through the imputed righteousness of faith." Because righteousness was imputed unto Abraham. In fact, even the faith was imputed to Abraham in Romans 4:21 and 22, "being fully persuaded that what he promised he was able to perform, therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness." And I am persuaded that "it" there is faith. Because it's not righteousness, "therefore righteousness was imputed to him for righteousness." That doesn't make sense. It was faith that was imputed to Abraham, so that he could have the imputed righteousness that was also given to, or given him, that he was given credit for. And the reason why I say that is this: faith had to be imputed to him because Jesus Christ had not been raised from the dead yet. In fact, he hadn't even been crucified when Abraham was living. And so it was through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead that made faith work. If Christ be not raised, then faith is vain. Okay? Let's go on. So he's saying that not only is Sarah's birth in Isaac showing you that there's a select seed, also in Rebekah. And by the way, the word also implies that Rebekah's birth was the same miracle birth that Sarah had. When you see the word "also," it means that Rebekah's birth was just as miraculous, even though it doesn't seem that way when you read through the Old Testament. "Not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac," and she had two twins. She had twins in her womb. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 20, it says that Isaac blessed Jacob first and then Esau. "By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come." What God wanted to teach us with the sons of Rebekah and Isaac is choices that God was going to make in the family. And he chose Jacob over Esau for what reason? Concerning things that are coming, future things. In Hebrews 9:11, but Christ being come in high priest of good things to come. In other words, the good things to come were not in Isaac's day, neither are they in this day, as Jesus Christ is our high priest, but in days ahead, which is the millennial reign of Christ. Because Jesus Christ is our high priest today concerning good things that are coming when? Whenever the kingdom is established, because he says that in Hebrews 9:15. For this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, or New Covenant, by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions, or the transgressors, I'd rather translate it that way, that were under the First Testament, that is the Old Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of age-lasting inheritance. The word eternal should be translated age, or age-lasting, or age-abiding. And it's talking about the inheritance. When? That's coming. We don't have it now. It's coming. Now, Paul picks up on the two children that were in Rebekah's womb. And to me, that means this. Because the two children were in her womb, they were both in the family already. They both were in the family. So it's not trying to determine which one is going to be in the family and which one isn't. They're both in the family. Okay? Verse 11 says, for the children, that is Esau and Jacob, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. In other words, it wasn't based upon the performance of Esau or Jacob that God chose Jacob over Esau. In other words, that's what he's... You know, we are influenced by performance. If we don't do certain... If we don't hop through certain hoops, we're not going to be able to get to God. And if we don't do certain things, we're on the outs. But see, God says, I chose Jacob over Esau because I wanted to. Period. And it's not based upon either one's works. By the way, the purpose of God, that phrase right there, is only found in this verse. It's not found anywhere in the New Testament. Purpose of God, according to election. And the word election means to be called out, to be separated from others. The church is called the ecclesia, the called out ones. And it's actually the called out of the called. Okay, let's go on. Ephesians 1:4-5 tells us, according as he had chosen us in him. For him to choose us, we had to be in him. We had to be in Christ. If you weren't in Christ, you would not even be considered. Now we weren't in Christ at the time he made these decisions, but he foreknew who was going to be in the family. That's how he could make choices. And election has to do with foreknowledge. And it goes on here, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children, or to be placed in a position of a son. That word adoption of children comes from one Greek word. And that is, which I've given to you here in the text, huiothesia. To place as a son by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. So to become a son, that has to do with the birthright. And the birthright has to do with a double portion, inheritance. And also to be Lord in the family. And we'll go on down here. In Romans 8:29-30 it says, for whom he did foreknow, He also did predestinate. And I'm giving you this verse so that you know that foreknowledge came before predestination. Okay? We just got through reading in Ephesians 1:5, having predestinated the Son to be unto being a son. Before He could predestinate us, He had to have the foreknowledge of who we were. And so whom He foreknew, He predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. In other words, we could cry, Abba, Father, to live like a son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. That has to do with the birthright, that He might have the birthright among many brethren. Then back in Romans 9:12, the purpose of election has to do with who serves who. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. The greater shall serve the lesser. Esau was the greatest. Jacob was the least. And yet the greater would be servant to the lesser. That's the purpose of election. Who serves who? In Deuteronomy 21:17, we see that the birthright provides a double portion to the firstborn. But he shall acknowledge the firstborn by giving him a double portion of all that he hath. In Genesis 27:29, here we have the blessing of Isaac upon Jacob. And Isaac says to Jacob, he says, let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. That's what it means to have the birthright. That is what it means when it says that the younger will rule over the elder. And people will serve you, nations will serve you, thy brothers will serve you, the sons of your mother will serve you. That's who he's talking to, Jacob, who became Israel. And not only that, the blessing of the land was his too. You find that in Genesis 28:4. And give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, and thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger. Not only was he to rule and reign, but he was to possess the land flowing with milk and honey. That was part of the blessing that Jacob received. And then he continued in Genesis 27:37. It says, Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him thy Lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants. That's what it means to be elect. To be elect means you're going to have servants. Who's going to be your servants? Those in the family. Your brothers. Your sisters. Your cousins in the Lord. As if you have cousins. You don't have cousins in the Lord. But anyway, the point is, your brethren are going to be serving you, those in the family. And then people think that because he loved Jacob and hated Esau, that he couldn't, that Esau couldn't be saved. And let me say this, that love and hate is a relative term. Okay? In Luke 14:26, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife, children, brother, sister, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Here's the word hate being used. You got to hate your wife. And then Paul contradicts that in Ephesians 5:28. So ought men to love their wives. It's a relative thing. He preferred Jacob over to Esau. That's what he means. It's not that he loved Jacob and he hated, he's going to, you know, mash Esau. That's not what he's talking about. I prefer Jacob because I want to. And so When we read in 1 Thessalonians 1, 4 and 5, it says, "Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God." The elect are brethren, and the elect are brethren. The elect are brethren, and the elect are beloved. And of course it talks about Paul's gospel. And Paul's gospel was the gospel that called him unto his glory, unto the glory of our Lord, as kings and lords, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, and then we will be kings and lords in his coming kingdom. In Revelation 17, 14, it says, "These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and elect, and they are both faithful." Both called and elect are faithful. I hope this helps you to appreciate what Paul is trying to explain about election. And the fact that in the Old Testament, not everybody had the same was not chosen to have the same benefits. Levi had more than others, but they had to watch the way they walked a whole lot more than one of the other tribes. Okay, Father, I just pray that you just help us to appreciate the fact that we know that we don't deserve any blessings that you give us. Jacob didn't deserve them. He was a liar and a cheat. And yet you chose Jacob over Esau. Why? Well, we don't know all the reasons, but we know you wanted to do that for your own purpose. And we thank you, Lord, that we can be blessed in the same way. Bless the message to each of our hearts, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.